You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Let's try it again. Good morning. Welcome to worship. If you are joining us online, we would just thank you for being a part of our worship today. Please join us and stand, and we will begin by singing our first song, House of the Lord. Turn and greet one another this morning. Welcome to worship.
So, I know I got a call in the Donnie. sure could. Do we, if I haven't had a yes or no from Donnie yet,
right.
Do I then bump somebody?
Oh, yeah, maybe we better wait. We better wait.
I'll wait.
Okay, I can try to get a hold of him too.
No, I'll just keep talking.
Okay. Well, good morning. Let's try it again. Good morning. That's better. If you'd like to turn in your bulletins, we will go through a few announcements today. There will be a meeting at the Lancaster Community Center on July 20th, it says, at 6:30. For anyone interested in talking about ways to help bring food to people in the county. And there's more information that is on the bulletin board in the foyer if you'd like to check that out. Also, there is a bridal shower honoring Hallie Skadstrom, bride-to-be of Gabe Vogley. And that is on July 31st at the Middle River Community Center from 1 until 3. And everybody is welcome to come to that. Also, if you'd like to write to Hannah Vogley, her address is, she would love to get cards and letters and...
Just letters, no cards.
Oh, no cards.
Just letters,
okay. I'm glad you cleared that up. Because she'll get in trouble, yeah. We don't want to give her push-ups. Unless you'd rather give her push-ups, you can send.
After the call last week, mail would be
okay. So please, if everyone here would just sit down and write a letter to Hannah this week, that would be a huge blessing just to overwhelm her with letters of encouragement from home. Also, VBS is coming up. That is August 16th through the 19th at Galilee Bible Camp in Lake Brunson. The registration sheets are in the foyer, so please pick one up. And also, the planning committee asks that you please fill them out and leave them in the basket in Sherry's office. And we also need more volunteers. So if you could help out with that, that would be wonderful. Also, today is Savannah Bernstrom's birthday. So happy birthday, Savannah. Also, Sandy Wilson's is on Wednesday. Happy birthday, Sandy. And Friday is Noah Vig and Angus Wilson. Saturday is Betty Waleski and Katie Johnson. So happy birthday to all of you. Anything that we are missing this morning? I feel like I've been gone for a long time, so it's good to be here. And we will be gone next Sunday one more time, and then we will be back through the wedding month. We have weddings every weekend in August, so it'll be a busy time. Anything else this morning before we continue on? Okay, praise team, come on back up. We are blessed with having Tim Denny with us to speak to us today, to bring God's word. So if you have prayer requests and you are listening online, we would encourage you to send them in now. And also remember for the offering, to support your local churches wherever you are at. So if we could have our ushers come forward, thank you so much. Awesome. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for today. We pray that you'd guide us, that you'd bless this offering, Lord, and just use it for your glory. We pray that you'd bless us as a church, that we would honor you in all things. Lord, help us to be faithful, and we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sing along with us.
Oh, Lord of my heart.
please be seated.
Okay, scripture this morning, short and sweet, is from Psalm 91, and I chose 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Psalm 91, 1 and 2. Okay, do we have prayer requests? Christy. Tom?
Yes, first and foremost, we should thank the dear Lord above for everything he has given us, the Spirit and his wisdom will continue on. And also, we should pray for our leaders of this nation. They do need prayer a whole lot. The people of Ukraine especially, going through pure hell now because of you-know-who. But anyway, also for my wife. I made an appointment tomorrow to see Andrew Deere. Thank God for her also.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody here, I love the whole world, actually.
Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome.
Lisa.
Carlson.
And do you know what's wrong?
COVID,
okay. And her first name was again?
Jenny.
Jenny?
Yeah.
Anybody else? We want to, okay. Okay, let's go. Oh, Julie. Okay, let's go to the, did somebody else here? Oh, Curtis.
Yeah, praise and a request. Praise that the last PET scan showed that the cancer had not spread any, but it's still not in remission, but hasn't spread, so that's good news that way. Just pray that she'll be able to have some strength. She's been really weak after these last few immunotherapy treatments. She had one Friday also.
Yeah, it can really zap a lot of, yep. Okay, no, so I didn't miss anybody.
Yeah.
Where are you? Somebody. Oh. What now? How old is Rachel? About?
I don't know. She's a mom of four kids.
Okay. Oof.
I think she's 39.
Wow. Okay. Tom?
Also, for my Uncle Neil, I'm the only remaining uncle on my dad's side. Also, prayer for Scott Schoestrand. That he quit his drink, smoke, and whatever, fight the sea stuff.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so fortunate knowing we can always bring our requests to you. We know that you always, always handle them, even though it might not be in the way that we wish. But we know that you're in charge. We know that you take care of us, and we know you are always there for us. We pray for Nathan as he is going to start this radiation, and it's a daily thing. It's a chore to have to go to Grand Forks or wherever every single day, and it interrupts your life, and sometimes you're zapped and tired afterwards. So we just pray that this goes well for him, and it will shrink this tumor so that he isn't going to have anything further done with it. We just want to thank the Lord for everything that all of us have. We are really, really rich compared to so many other people in the world, and we thank you, Lord, for being such a good provider for us, and we are so grateful for that. We pray that our leaders will turn to you and know that you are the one that should be leading this country and this world, and we want to have more Christian, strong Christian people in our government to get the jobs done that have to be done. And so we pray for our leaders. We pray for Glenda. We pray that she is comfortable, that you can give her comfort every day, and that you can help her through the days that are ahead. We pray for Terry Carlson, who is battling with COVID, and it's such a wicked disease, and it does so many different things to people, and we just pray that this will be short-lived for him, and he'll get through this and not have any ill effects afterwards. We pray for Jenny, who was on a trip or going, anyway, she's in a plane, and all of a sudden she's having respiratory troubles, and they have to land, and now she's in the hospital on a respirator, and we just pray, Lord, that the doctors will have the wisdom to turn this around so that she will recuperate from this and that her lungs will get well. We pray for safe travel for all of our people during the summer. Everybody's out and about. There's so many activities going, and so we just pray that travels remain safe for everybody. They get home safe and sound. We thank you, Lord, for the trip that Galen and Julie had in California. It was a wonderful time to visit with family and have some time together. They live so far apart that they can't get together very often, so it's really a blessing when they are able to and spend some quality time with their family. We pray for Rachel Dahl, who has got cancer, and she's a mom with four kids, and now she's living with a friend who also has kids, and so it's a house full of commotion and kids and so much activity, and then to be sick on top of it. And so we bless Joy for doing this and for helping and to try and take all this on, and we just pray that Rachel will endure the treatments that she's having to go through, that she will gain her health back and gain strength, and just keep this family in your arms, Lord. They need the strength that only you can give them. And we pray for Uncle Leo. I don't know exactly what the problem is, but Lord, take care of him, give him strength, give the doctors wisdom for him also. And we pray for Scott, who battles daily with so many issues, and he loves you so much, Lord, and we just pray that you give him peace each day and help him with the alcohol issue, and just give him the strength that he needs to overcome this. And I know he loves you so much, Lord, so we just pray that you will help take care of him. And this might sound silly, but we pray for the Jestel dog who got hit yesterday, and we just pray that he isn't going to be seriously hurt. A big dog, St. Bernard, but anyway, a vehicle's a lot bigger. So we just pray that he is okay and he's up and about, and we pray that he's going to be fine with no internal injuries and so forth. It's hard for kids when they have a dog that they love when it gets hurt. So we just pray, Lord, that all is going to be well there. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. It's a little hot. If you want to turn the heat down a bit, we'd appreciate it. But it's nice to have sun. It's dry. We need some rain. Crops are looking so nice, and a good shot of rain would help everything right now. So we thank you, Lord, for everything. We love you in your precious name. Amen.
Yep.
Praise team, come on back up, and we're going to continue our time of worship, so please stand and join us. Please stand. God who stays.
One with God.
Father, we just thank you for today, Lord. We praise you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, God, who lives inside us. And we just ask, God, just fill us. Help us to live our lives, God, that would be pleasing to you, that we would love those around us like you do, Jesus. God, help us to be an example, God, that people could look to you, God, and see
Jesus, in us. We thank you for the power of your name. Thank you for the power of your word. God, help us to live, God, and be faithful. Lord, bless us and guide us now. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Tim, if you'd come up and share with us, that would be wonderful.
So how do preachers prepare sermons? I'll tell you how it used to be. You worry about it all week, and then comes Saturday night, and you're walking up and down in the living room saying, Lord, just one more time, bail me out, right? Mike's in the back here, and Mike and I talk about this all the time. Mike's my probation agent. But we talk about how we prepare sermons and how God is changing that, because it's not we who speak. If it's not the Holy Spirit, it's not worth listening to.
Amen.
And so it's the Holy Spirit who helps us in these things. So how does that work out? It's different every week, but this week was really funny because Monday, I've been on the road, like I was on the road for 23 days, and then I got back, and then I was on the road for 7 days, and then I get back, and I finally have a Monday. And for that Monday, I get up, and I don't have anything on my calendar. When does that ever happen, right? So I sit down, I think I'm going to journal. And I journal 2 paragraphs, and it's like the Lord pokes me, and he goes, what are you doing journaling? You've got a sermon to prepare. Get to the computer. I've got something for you. Because I had no idea where we were going today. And so I sit down at the computer, turn it on. It's like, Lord, what do you have? 1 John 3. All righty then. So I go to 1 John 3, and he just starts pouring out all kinds of stuff. And then that leads to 1 John 4. It's funny how that works in the Bible, too. But anyway, it goes to 1 John 4. And when it's all done, it's like this big thing of notes. And I said, so what do I do with this, Lord? And he said, nothing. It just has to sit. And it's been sitting all week. So this morning, we're going to find out what that was about. I'm as interested in it as you are. But I do know this, that God's going to be speaking to us today about our life of surrender before him. And I know some of you are thinking, gosh, you talk about that every time you're here, Tim. And I do. You know, Ian Thomas, anybody hear of Ian Thomas? Major Ian Thomas. If you haven't read books by Ian Thomas, don't let your shirt touch your back on the way to Amazon after church today and order something by Ian Thomas. Okay, he came and spoke at a church that I was involved in Idaho. And every message he talked about giving up our lives so that Christ could live his life in us. And that it was about his life and us and nothing about my life anymore. And finally, after about 3 nights of that, one of the ladies in the church went up and said, Mr. Thomas, you always talk about the crucified life and Christ living his life in place of ours. Do you ever talk about anything else? And his answer was classic. He said, ma'am, what else is there to talk about? And that's true. Because this is the Christian life. So we're going to touch on that today, and we'll see where God takes us on that. But here's our passage for this morning. Primary evidence. Our God is love, but what are we? That's sort of the subtitle here for us today. And we're going to be working first from 1 John 4, verses 7 through 12. These are really famous passages, so let's just read them together. Before we do that, Lord, I pray that you would speak to me and through me. And we pray, Lord, that for every one of us here today, that your Holy Spirit would pour into us and out of us like those rivers of living water that you promised. So, Father, this is our prayer. We pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable and pleasing to you today, Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. This we pray in your name. Okay, so 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. By this, the love of God was revealed in us, that God has sent his only Son into the world so that we may live through him. What an amazing thing. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. There's a great big word, but propitiation means something that satisfies righteous anger. Okay, so his Son was sent to satisfy the righteous anger for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. Do you catch what's being said there? If we love one another, God lives in us. We become the only God that the world can see. We become God made visible. What an amazing thought when we love one another. So, before we get started on that, let's frame this a little bit. How do we relate to God? We have all grown up in a system that focuses on salvation, on being saved. Why are we saved? So that we can spend eternity in heaven with God, okay? Salvation is the gate, but I want to be really clear. Salvation is not the goal of God's work in us. Salvation is the gate, okay? So picture this. You get invited to this fabulous ruler's house, okay? He rules everything where you live. And he invites you to his house. And as you come up to the house, it's this beautiful palace. And you look at the invitation. Am I really supposed to be here? And you read it, and it says, you're coming to my house because I want you to be one of my best friends, my intimate friends, and I want to share what I have with you. And we go, man, I can't believe this. Just look at this place. So we walk up and we get to the entryway, and the entryway is like amazing. It's like this palace by itself. And we're standing in the entryway, and it's like, I've never been in a place like this before. This is amazing. And somebody in your group says, yeah, this is like good enough. We could just stay right here. And we all go, yeah, this is great. Let's stay right here in the entryway. This is amazing. And so we bring tents and we set up tents in the entryway. But we never go in. And we never meet the ruler. And we never share in all of the delights that he has for us. Is that not what Peter did on the Mount of Transfiguration? Do you remember that? They see the glory of God poured into Christ because Christ lived his life by the power of God. And so they see this on the Mount of Transfiguration. Here's the glory of God revealed in Jesus. And what does Peter say? Hey, let's build some tents and we're just going to stay right here because this is cool. Peter had not yet caught on to the fact that the glory of God was also going to be poured into him, that he was being invited. On the day of Pentecost, that happened. The life of God poured into Peter and the rest of the people, and there was this powerful transformation in them. But Peter wanted to stay in the entryway. He wanted to stay up on the mountain in a tent. That's what happens when we only focus on the fact that we're saved. We're saved for a purpose. So what is the goal? The goal is the restoration of our union with God. Our God saved us so that we could be joined, not to him, joined with him, joined into him. That's the language of the New Testament. that we are joined into God and that he is poured into us. What an amazing gift. That's the rest of the palace. That's what he wants. You know, in Psalm 48, it talks about God. It talks about, walk about Zion and consider her palaces and count her towers and look at her ramparts and explore all that that means. And then it finishes by saying, for this is our God. God wants us to explore him and experience him and live in him, and he wants to live in us. And that is the goal, the restoration of our union with God. So what's the gift? He does all this by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of Christ comes and lives in us. And now it's Christ alive in you and me. And here's the deal. That works best when I'm no longer alive. I give up my life so that Christ can live his in me. But if I retain my life, I block the gift. Christ can't live in me if I keep my life. So I've got to let go of that. And here's where faith comes in. Because we only know our lives, right? We only know what we know. And we think, if I have to give all that up, what's left? We don't understand what's on the other side of that. We don't understand what's inside the door if we open the palace and go in. We don't get that. So it takes faith to let go so that we can experience God. But what he gives us is not just the Holy Spirit who walks alongside of us, not just the Holy Spirit who visits us when we need him for something. He lives his life in us. Now picture that. How big is my life? Not too big, right? It's actually pretty tiny in the grand scheme of things. How big is God's life? He wants to live that life in us in its fullness. Do you realize that's the language of the New Testament? That he wants to live his life in us in all of the fullness of God. That's a direct quote. All of the fullness of God. I go through my life so much of the time thinking that I'm gonna like touch base with God a few times a day and you know, check in maybe if I remember. But I got a list of things to do today, and I'm going to get going on that list. What am I missing? The fullness of God. Will I still get the list done? If it's important, I'll still get the list done. But now as I walk through my day, I'm walking in the consciousness of the fullness of God. And I'm telling you, that's an enormous change from the way it used to be. So I just want to give you some hope here. What's the gain? Look at what we gain from all of this. Our life is immeasurably richer and bigger and better and greater and more full and holier and eternal. Do you realize when Jesus prayed before his crucifixion, John 17, he said, "I have already given them eternal life." The life that God wants to live in us is the life we will live in heaven. You know, we just sang some songs about getting to heaven. What are we waiting for? He wants to live that life in us now. And that is the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom has been restored through Christ, and it's put into us by his Holy Spirit. And we live that life, and it's amazing. What's the glow? What's the evidence? It's love, because God is love. When God lives in us in this way, love is what is seen. That's what is said in that passage in 1 John 4 that we read already, is that we become the visible expression of God, because it's love. It's not because we act better or we go to church on Sunday. It comes through love, and that's the whole point, I think, of the book of John. It's talking to us about how we live the love of God in our lives. So here's that primary evidence. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. When love is pouring out of our lives, that is the primary evidence that we are of God. That's huge. You know, sometimes we think God is about behavior modification. He's got plans for our behavior. Yeah, I want you, you know, you're doing pretty good there, Tim, but man, look at those areas in your life. You should get on that and clean those up, right? That's not what God's saying. He's saying, just give all of your life over to me and I'll clean it up. And by the way, I can tell you, he cleans up things a whole lot faster than I do. It's pretty darn amazing. But I think about my life and all of the years that I've struggled to overcome things. And then I began to discover what we're talking about today and the life of God lived in me. And it's the only word I can use is evaporation. That so many of these struggles that I've had, he's evaporating them. Now, here's the thing. It's not because I have more acumen or that I've somehow learned something more or anything like that. It's actually because I've become less. This is the upside down kingdom. You don't need a PhD to know God. You don't need a master's degree to know God. You don't need to study. You need the Holy Spirit in charge of your life. And he reveals these things. But the bigger thing is, he does them. You know, all those things in the Bible, make a list of everything the Bible tells. Did I go? No, I'm back. Make a list of all the things the Bible tells you ought to be doing. Do you know what that list is? That's the punch list for your life, not that you do, that God's going to do. It's God's punch list for your life. And as you surrender to him, everything on that list he intends to do. He doesn't expect you to do it. He intends to do it. In fact, we can't do it. In the flesh, we cannot do it. Paul said that if we are living according to the flesh, we must die. There's nothing in the flesh that's going to work for us. So, this is the primary evidence. Here's the unequivocal truth. The one who does not love does not know God. That verse is powerfully important. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. I have struggled and struggled with this for so many years. It's like, okay, so I gotta learn to love better. Flesh, no. I've got to surrender to God and know him. Because know him through his work in me. And that is the unequivocal truth of life in the kingdom. But by this, the love of God was revealed in us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we may live through him. His life is the goal, that we may live through Christ, that Christ may live through us. Those two terms, those two concepts are used interchangeably throughout the New Testament. Sometimes it talks about our being in Christ. By the way, a lot. Any idea how many times it talks about being in Christ in the New Testament? It's about 140. Maybe that's an issue, right? But the other side of it is, it talks about Christ living his life in us. That's over 20 times. So what we have is this interplay in the scriptures of two sides of the coin. One side is we are in Christ, and the other side is Christ is in us. And that is our life. His life is the goal. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. The gospel is made visible in love. Do you remember the advice that St. Francis of Assisi gave to his followers when they were going to go out as missionaries? Anybody hear that? He said, wherever you go, preach the gospel. When necessary, use words. Do you get what he's saying? He's reflecting what this says right here. The gospel is visible in the way we love. It's not visible in the way we behave. It's not visible in the way we dress. It's not visible in the way we drive. Let's not get on to driving. I followed a car once. I was working at the Billy Graham Crusade in Fresno, and I was on the team for that. And I lived in the mountains, and I'm driving down the hill. And this car comes racing around me, passing me on a curve in the mountains. You know, so I'm slamming on the brakes because I could see this horrific three-way crash. And so I've just watching this car get in behind the next car and like trying to get around and honking the horn and finally gets around. And this went on and on and on. And, you know, traffic's slow. And so whatever they're doing, at the end, when we finally broke out of the mountains, the guy was about a minute ahead of me, so I don't know what that was about. On the back of his Toyota 4Runner, on that window that rolls down on the older ones, right in the middle was the biggest Billy Graham bumper sticker I've ever seen. And I thought, what a witness. So we just want to be aware that it's none of those things. It's how we love. How do we love? How do we love? And here's the thing. We don't have to generate that love. God pours the love in us. If you're a fan of the King James, there's this great translation of Romans 5:5 in the King James. And it says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit He's made to live in us. We don't have to generate this love. God intends to pour His love in us and let it pour out of us. Remember what Jesus said in John 7, that whoever comes to me, out of him will flow rivers of living water. And love is a part of that. That word shed abroad, what it really means in the Greek is that it's poured to the point of overflowing and spreading. So he has poured, God intends to pour out into you all the love that's necessary for this passage. But it comes through our surrender. We have to surrender to that. He's not going to pour it into stubborn people. So what is the opposite of love? A lot of people think it's hate. Sometimes when I ask this question, people say indifference. The opposite of love is self. Think about it. If we really love, that means we are unselfish, right? We think of the other person ahead of ourselves. Read 1 Corinthians 13. So the opposite of love is self. And self is always born out of our rebellion. This is why in Galatians, Paul says, the flesh wars against, insert the word self, the self wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. There's this constant war in there because our self is always in rebellion. And it will be that way until we die. The physical body dies away, but the life of God in us lives on into eternity. But when that physical body dies away, the rebellion ends. Finally, the rebellion ends. It's like when your 18-year-old goes to college. At least that's how my parents described it. So out of the self comes all of these things, indifference, rejection, judgment. We are indifferent towards people, or reject them, or we judge them, or we get angry, or we become offended. Here's the secret. Nobody ever offends it out there. Nobody ever offends you. But you can choose to be offended if you want to be. We choose our own pain so much of the time. So that comes out of self. Separation from others. We quit hanging out with people because we don't like them. Strife, division, dismissal, gossip, and all the rest. All of this is the fruit of the self life in us. Here's the hard one. Opinion. Ouch. Aren't we sort of favors? Like, don't we really love our opinions? Like, we're sort of connected to those. But what if those all came out of our flesh? Ouch. So all of that gain, remember that list of gain, is blocked by the self-life. We lose that God life in us. So how important is this love of God for others? Let's go back to 1 John 3, the passage that the Lord started with on Monday morning. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we are to love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And for what reason did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil, but his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers and sisters. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life remaining in him. Okay, why does he say murderer? This word hate that we just talked about, hating your brother or sister in John 3:15, is from the Greek miseo. And it means not hate in the way we think. Here's what it means: to love less, to esteem less or esteem lower, to detest, to disregard or be indifferent to slight, or to postpone loving or esteeming. That's a much more broad definition than the one we normally have for hate. But this is what he's talking about. So we get to this excuse, well, I don't really hate other people, I just don't like them. I just don't like to be around them, right? Well, look at the definition. That's exactly what hate is. That's exactly what hate is. And so when we are indifferent to people, or we start avoiding them, or we hold back from them, responding in love, that's what John is talking about here. That's the hate. And it's that same attitude that led Cain to murder. So now our motives are equal to Cain, the murderer. This is harsh, but it's the word of God. So we need to pay attention to it. Verse 16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now remember what I said earlier. You don't have to do that in the flesh. You have to surrender to God, and he will do the laying down towards those around you. He will accomplish that in you. If you retain control, the very fact that you retain control will block that laying down. Jesus demonstrated his love by laying down his life for us, and he intends to live this same love in us so that we lay down our lives for each other. This is where he's going in our lives. This is the gospel of the kingdom. This is what God intends to do in us every day. So this is our standard. We lay down our lives for God and for one another, just as Christ did for us. If we hold on to our self-living, though, we will block the love of God flowing through us. So being a disciple of Christ must bring an end to the self-life with everything that goes with it, opinion, whatever it is. I jotted down a verse here. I don't think I put it in the notes. But here's what the verse says. This is John 14:10. Oops, that's not the one. No, I was thinking of Luke. Go to Luke. I don't have it written down. Go to Luke chapter 14. You start with verse 25 and you read through 31. And it's the heading in a lot of Bibles says, Jesus, the test of discipleship. The test of discipleship. And he says, if any of you wants to follow me, if any of you, this is a universal statement, if any of you wants to follow me, you must lay down your life. You must, in regard to your love for me, you must leave behind, or he uses the word hate, esteem less. okay? You must esteem less your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your children. All of that is esteemed less than our love for Christ. This is a real test. This is hard. And then he ends by saying, whoever does not give up all that they possess cannot be my disciple. When that term possess is not talking about physical possessions, it's talking about all the things to which we hold on. That's really what it's talking about. And so this, Jesus is very unequivocal here about what the standard is. And if we hold on to our self-living and we do not let the love of God be poured abroad, you know, shed abroad in us, if we don't love others more than we love ourselves, laying down our lives for them, what the scriptures that we read today tell us is this: we are not born of God. We do not know him. We hold the hatred of murder in our hearts. We have not passed from death to life, but remain in death. We refuse Christ, quenching and grieving his spirit. What do we do with all of this? The gospel of the kingdom, when Jesus started preaching it, began with the words, repent. So what do? We repent. We always think of repentance as being for specific sins. Repentance always starts with self. We repent of holding on to our self-life. We just repent of that. We wake up in the morning and we say, Lord, I give it all to you. Today is your day. Live your life in me. And then as we go through the day, he'll prompt you from time to time. You just renew that commitment. And we begin to live in repentance. This is what I've discovered over time. And I don't know how many times a day now, it's just like a conversation with him. Lord, I repent of me. Take over my living. Words to that effect. It's not the same thing. It's not like a mantra. It's just words to that effect. And so we do that every day. We repent, we commit our living to God, and we trust him to live his life in us. And when we do that, not only will he live his life in us, but his love will pour through us, and we will be the visible expression of the invisible God. But if we try to do that on our own, we won't get there. So that's what I have for you today. I just want to encourage you in this. This sounds really harsh and difficult, but I want to tell you it's not. That when you embark on this journey, God meets you in it early and often. And he empowers this through you, and you'll be amazed at what he does in your life, and you'll be amazed at what he does in the congregation. You'll be amazed at how it ramps up the influence you have and the congregation has in the community. This is how revival begins. Lord, I pray that you would have your way in us. Lord, I pray that your life and your love would be the primary evidence in this community that you are alive and well and working in the hearts of those who've turned to you. Father, I pray that you would live your life in love in each one of us. Bring us to repentance, Lord. Bring us to the fullness of commitment to you. Lord, we need you for this, and we praise you, and we thank you that you have offered it to us. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Very good. Give you love and give to others from the heart, right?
Yes.
Thank you, Tim. Let's close our service by singing our final song, Count Your Blessings. Thank you. Please stand. Father, we thank you for today. We pray, God, that you'd guide us. Lord, that we would just fully surrender our lives to you. Lord, that you would live your life through us and that out of us would flow rivers of living water, just as you say and just as you promise. Lord, just help us to turn, God, from anything that is not of you and just live our lives completely and fully for you, Lord. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.